Remember the feeling of rushing home from school, tossing your backpack on the floor, and turning on the TV just in time for the afternoon block of cartoons? Way back when life was all about schoolyard rivalries and making it home before the streetlights came on? Well, what if those Saturday morning vibes collided with an action-packed sci-fi adventure? In the new comic, The Ruth Avenue Raiders, the best, and let's be honest, the cockiest elementary school football team on Ruth Ave is about to face a defensive line unlike anything they've ever seen. We're talking interdimensional robots from Sector 7. When these kids are challenged to a match where the stakes are way higher than just bragging rights, they realize their old playbook won't save them. It's a hilarious, action-packed story about friendship, teamwork, and learning to step out of your comfort zone, all before the sun goes down. If you know a young reader looking for a new graphic novel, or if you grew up on the heart of Hey Arnold, the playground politics of Recess, or the what-could-go-wrong energy of Dexter's Lab, this is the book you've been waiting for. It's The Sandlot Meets Transformers, created by Mad Cave Studios Talent Search winner Damian Becton and artist Marina Otegua Ruiz. The Ruth Avenue Raiders is now live on Kickstarter, and you do not want to miss the kickoff. Head over to www.ruthavenueraiders.com right now to secure your copy of The Ruth Avenue Raiders, only available until June 24th. By joining the squad early, you'll stay in the loop and get access to exclusive early bird rewards and updates that won't be available anywhere else. That's www.ruthavenueraiders.com. Help us bring this 90s-inspired adventure to life. Winner go Chrome.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
Discover what BetterHelp Online Therapy can do for you. Visit BetterHelp.com today.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we got another bonus episode for you today with a great guest. Love talking to this guy. He has a bunch of new things coming out, but the big one we're going to be talking about is Mind Management New and Improved, number one, which is coming out June 24th from Oni Press. Final order cutoff is April 27th, so get in your orders now. Ladies and gentlemen, the creator of Mind Management and many other things, Matt Kint. Matt, welcome back to the podcast.
How's it going? Thanks for having me back.
Great thank to see you for coming on early in the AM to talk about one of our favorite books, the return of one of our favorite books. To set this up a little bit more, we talked to you about this a bit back at New York Comic Con, so it has been a little while, but you are taking your Flux House imprint, moved it over to Oni, and the two first titles are Mind Management, and then we're going to be getting Fort Psycho. Other than the dates I mentioned, the other date I should mention is Free Comic Book Day, which, if I remember correctly, is May 2nd. You're going to have a back-to-back special, a doubleheader special of both of those titles, which is very cool. But all that info out of the way, let's talk about Mind Management, because like the title says, this is new and improved. If you never read Mind Management before, based on the first issue, without getting into spoilers, we got a chance to read it. You can jump right in. You don't know, have to know anything, though it does pick up off the plot of the previous series as well and the status quo. What was important to you in terms of rebooting this property, coming back to this property and saying, and I'm sure we can talk more about this, but saying new things this time around?
I think it was pretty tricky because I was never going to go back to it. You know, I kept having ideas for different things and different ideas that would be perfect for it. But I was like, I'm not going back. And then when Oni approached me, they're like, hey, have you thought about it? And I was like, yeah, I have literally a notebook full of ideas that I'm just sitting on, you know, because I was like, it just wasn't the right time, or I didn't feel like I didn't want to repeat myself either. That was the thing. And how do you not repeat yourself, but also make it welcoming to new readers and everything? So I figured out a way. I have this brand new character called the Eraser, who basically wipes out all the history. So nobody, you don't need to know anything, and readers don't need to know anything. And you can just come into this cold and have a fun, easy, reading experience. go ahead.
No, I was just going to lay out a little bit more of the plot for, and this is all out in the solicit info, so I don't think it characterizes as spoilers, but at the end of Mind Management, there was a big blow up. Lots of characters died and went out. Here we're picking up, I think years later, we're following two investigators who are investigating what seems to be somebody eliminating old members of Mind Management, which, to take even a broader view, simplest version is it's like a psychic spy agency, though they all have different abilities and ways of approaching that. Does that all seem fair?
That sounds like lies to me.
Yeah. He's trying to influence you.
Close enough.
Yeah. To get a little further into it, and this is brushing on spoilers, but you do set this up in the first couple of pages, it's very current. Like, you're really responding, it feels like, to the world we are living in right now and the overload of information. I have to believe that was in part the inspiration for this book.
That sounds horrible. Nobody wants to read that.
Also, it's fun, and it looks
No, it's like a... During the Great Depression, musicals and fun things were that's what the movies are about, you know. So that's what this is. It's a fun, like, detective murder mystery. And I found that I had to delete everything off of my phone. I'm trying to figure out, like, how can I make my phone just a thing that takes and receives, you know, receives and gives phone calls.
I was going to ask you about that and your relationship with information overload. Sorry to cut you off, Justin. But like, you are actually deleting stuff off your phone. I don't think you're very active on social media either.
Social media person that.
What's life like on the other side?
It's good. What's funny is, like, I deleted everything. And then I found Reddit, where it's great because you can subscribe to, like, comic book things and whatever topic you want. And then I don't post on it really, but I read topics. And then I realized that was just filling the same waste of time that all the other ones were. So I deleted that for like an hour.
I need it back immediately.
It's just funny, like, how sticky that stuff is. And it's like, man, I spent. The first 20 years of my career not having a video game machine in the house, because I knew that if I did, I that's all I'd want to do, and I'd do that, and I wouldn't make comics. So now, like, we're all walking around with this thing that's even worse for your time management than video games. So it's just, it was tough. So anyway, that maybe was the inspiration, or at least I don't know. It's just part of it. To me, it's fun to sort of explore, like, what your brain does. And that's my management has kind of always been that for me, is like, how does our brain work, and what can we do, and how can we fix things?
Well, so, I mean, going off what Alex said, like, we've never needed mind management more than now. Like, the overwhelm, the, like, too much, and sort of like clarity and moving through. So it does feel like Alex is saying a reflection of the times, but I'm curious, is that reflected in your notebook that was building up to this? Were you writing down current things? Because I also think there's so much stark imagery in this. It feels very like you had a vision for some of these, and it ended up becoming this first issue.
Yeah, I have my idea is, I don't think in current events or those kind of, I'm always thinking like character, kinds of characters, fun little plot points, you know, different. And with mind management, it was always like, what sort of like abilities, what could you get your brain to do? Like, you know, it's all relatively grounded. Nobody has powers, you know, everybody works to earn the thing that they're using, you know? So in a way I feel like the things aren't possible, but they're things that, it's like just turned up to 12 instead of 10. If 10's reality, this is like 12 or 13, maybe 14.
I feel like we've talked about this before, so apologies if it's repetitive, but this is a book that you're writing and drawing yourself, versus you've also been writing a lot of titles, or at least it feels like a lot of titles are coming out all the time. What's different about your process when you're doing something like this, something like Mind Management, where you're pulling double duty?
Yeah, it really, if I'm not doing everything, I feel like I'm not not every part of the book is being part of the story. Where when I'm writing and drawing and doing the design and all that, even the lettering, all that, I'm writing while I'm doing it. So like if I'm designing the cover, that's page one of the story. So whatever that is, that has to be, that's part of the narrative, you know, in the back cover, the inside front cover, the lettering, if I have put stuff on this, you know, as I'm lettering, I get bored. So it's like, wow, I could layer some extra things in here to sort of create another reality or do something interesting with the layouts. All of it's story driven stuff, you know, and a lot of that, again, like that, going back to the notebook question you had, I don't think I fully answered it, but a lot of those ideas are like formalist ideas of like, what can we do in comics? What haven't I seen yet? You know, I don't want to be bored reading it. And I don't want to be bored making it. And I want to try to do something nobody's done before. So a lot of it's that kind of stuff. And, some of it's, there's a character in issue four that really the whole, first three issues is building up to this character we don't see until issue four. And then, and that character is an idea I've had for a long time that I didn't even know was going to be mind management. I thought, well, maybe this will just be its own thing. It's a kind of dark, it has a dark sort of twist to it, you know, but I think it was also funny. it's funny and horrible. So,
yeah.
Do you feel added pressure with this book specifically to push the form, like you're saying? Like, this feels like the home in a way?
Yeah, you know, the pressure for me was like, don't do the same thing again. Like,
right.
I know there's a lot of gimmicks and everything, and I share a studio with Brian Hurt, my collaborator on Fort Psycho, and he's always like, oh, yeah, you're probably, whatever, you're going to hold it up to the light and there's the secret code, or you turn upside down.
He's just roasting you.
Yeah, no, he's like, it's all the stuff that I can be crutches. And my wife's always like, that's a crutch, don't do that. You're using it as a story crutch. Wow. And I was like, no, I know. No, these are all valid concerns, you know.
And I so like the idea of the harsh sounding boards around you.
No, dude, it's great. Here's what I'll say: as a creator, if you can't have people around you that can just tell you the unvarnished truth, and then and you be able to take it, that's more valuable than anything. You know,
I agree with you completely. I like harsh notes, and my wife is also good at giving them.
Yeah, no, it's great, and it took me a while to learn. It's there's a skill to taking criticism or feedback, you know, and so there is that concern. It's like, I don't want to do this because. Just to do it, or just to be, it had to be story driven, and all of those ideas, anything I do like that springs from like the story and the character and that kind of thing. So there are some similarities to the first series, but I wanted to try to do something different and new. So I'm subtly doing it, and I'm doing it sort of in more subtle ways. Like even the storytelling, I wanted it to be, something where you could never have read nothing before, and then you pick up issue one, you're like, oh, it's a murder mystery, and there's two detectives. It's all these super recognizable tropes of kinds of fiction that we enjoy, you know, that are sort of put together, and it's like the guy and the girl is like, oh, are they falling in love? Is this going to be like, you know, I try to pick the most like comfort food kinds of story ideas to plant at the beginning. So that by the time you get to issue 4, 5, 6, you're just going to not have any idea where you're headed and wonder how you got there.
It's interesting to hear you talk about tropes. We've been talking about a lot of your work lately, and I know you're wrapping up a bunch of your stuff at Dark Horse, but a lot of it feels like riffs on other things. Like as we're taping this, Night City just wrapped up, and the way that I was pitching that when we were talking about on a review podcast is that it's sort of, what if Superman fell asleep and woke up as Clark Kent? Like that's sort of the idea, but then it goes into other places and goes into other thematic places that you're dealing with at the same time. Mind management seems a little different, but when you're approaching some stories like this, what do you start with? Do you start with like thematically what you were dealing with in say a Night City or Fort Psycho is a riff on G.I. Joe, what I believe, and things like that? Or do you start with, like, what if it was Legion of Superheroes, but a little different?
Yeah, you know, it's just every story is different. So we'll just, let's run the gamut real quick. I'll say Base Scouts was a Legion of Superhero story that they were never going to let me do. So I was like, well, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
Night City was, I have no desire to write Superman or do any of that. And then, but I was like, oh, it would be fun to steal my other idea, Revolver. I don't know if you ever read the graphic novel Revolver. Mm-hmm. I did at Vertigo. Anyway, yeah. I'll never get the rights back to that. So I was like, oh, I'll just steal my idea back and make a different book and have Superman in it. These are very, I'm boiling this down to like, there's a lot more that goes into it and that kind of thing. And then, what was the other one you said?
Fourth Cycle.
G.I. Joe. Well, that one, I backed into that idea because it started out as, I just wanted like retired super agents on an island. And then one of them's the bad guy. Like it's all the good guys that sort of get falsely accused of war crimes and they're put on the island. But one of the bad guys is on there and the guy they've been trying to find this whole time. And so that was the original pitch and the plot of the whole story. And then they're just trying to find which one of us is it, you know, that was the plot. And then when I started working on it, I was like, well, that's going to be, I don't want to draw like just people in prison suits on an island the whole time. I was going to draw this also. So I was like, well, what do I do to make this more visually interesting? And I was like, oh, I'll split it between them on the island and then all their previous adventures and all these crazy missions they went on. And then they can have colorful outfits. And that's where I was like, oh, this is like my 13-year-old dream comic, you know, the flashback stuff. So that wasn't, it never started with that. That was like, how do I make it fun to draw? Mm-hmm. And then I share a studio with Brian and, I was telling him everything I just told you. I was telling him, oh, I figured it out. I figured out how to make this real fun. He's like, I want to draw that. and then our schedule just happened to work out. So we've been working on that in the background for like a couple of years. We just sort of cooking up all the characters and the look of it.
Well, just to get back to it for a second, though, and use Space Scouts as an example, and I know you're saying everything is different, but when does it go from, hey, I'm doing a Legion of Superheroes riff that's my own, to this is sort of a treatise on the Forever War?
Yeah, no, I don't think, here's what I will say, I don't think about the theme of a book or what it's about until I'm sitting in a convention and somebody comes up to me and they start telling me what it's about.
You're right.
Right. Cause I think if I did it the other way, it would just be too heavy handed or like, obvious, you know? And then I guess sometimes I look back and I was like, oh, it's obvious, but I was thinking about the character and these cool things I wanted to have happen. And I wanted to do, I really wanted to do a kind of Legion of Superheroes story where some of them got to die, you know, and then I know in the old Legion, a couple of them did, and it was a big deal. I was like, I thought that would be more interesting to have, sort of make it more of like a competition, and it was, a lot of it is stuff from there, but I want to do it for real. what if we did it, but like for real, and then what would that be like? What would the competition look like? And then it would be more like reality TV, I guess, which I also kind of enjoy. If I enjoy any sort of subgenres more than others, it's time travel and it's battle royale type of plots. And then I think those are my like two favorite things, you know. So Space Scouts to me was like a great way to sort of scratch a couple of those itches.
Now, so do you, these books you just described, is this you emptying the bag or are you like, oh, I want to do this all the time. I want to take these larger ideas that I can sort of smash with a hammer and make my own.
Which book are you talking about?
I mean, the smaller series that are like, that feel concept, very concept driven.
Yeah. Yeah. I think some of those are just like, they're fun ideas I've had and I finally get to them, you know, and even Mind Management, this character that shows up later, that was like a fun idea I had. I was like, oh, I want to do it. Actually, I have little outlines for a book that's about this character and like how he was trained as a child. I don't want to spoil anything about it. He's the luckiest person on earth, you know? So it's like, well, how did he get to be the luckiest person on earth? So he's trained in all these crazy, horrible, horrible ways, which really is kind of a spoiler already, but I had a whole book, about this guy. And then I was like, I started on mind management. And I was like, you know what? I think that that's a better element of this bigger, this other story. And I'll put him into it. And it just makes this, the mind management story richer because there's all these other backstories within it.
What does it feel like, though, letting go of that other story then? Because if you had been developing that, you don't care.
Here's what ideas, this, my wife doesn't like it when I say this, ideas are a dime a dozen. and they really are. It's like I have notebooks all over the place. I have notes on my phone. Every once in a while, a couple times a year, I'll pull all of the places I've written notes, like from my phone and different random notebooks and pieces of paper. I'll put them all in one spot and I'll type it all up into a document so that I don't lose it, you know? But it's like, there's so many in there that it's like, I'll never get to those. And then I've already had more since then, or even typing those up, give me ideas. So it's always just like, what am I interested in most right now? And then what makes sense? And then, and the good ideas, if they're good, those ideas will constantly float to the top, you know, and then eventually I'll get to it. And then I have this big master list, you know, and then some of those ideas have been on there for like 15, 20 years. I'm like, those aren't good ideas.
they're my little blankets that I tuck in at night.
Yeah.
But interesting hearing you say that, like this is the Legion story you never do. They wouldn't let you do a Superman story like this. What is the idea that you're holding on to that you're like, maybe they will let me do this one? Are there any like that in one of your notebooks?
I don't hold on to ideas. Yeah, if I have an idea, it's in the book.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know if you saw the Key and Peele Gremlins 2 skit mm-hmm. that they did where I was like, that's how I feel about, even, especially with mind management. I was like, if I have an idea while I'm drawing it, I'll redo it and put it in there if I need to. It's just, and that's the fun. That's the fun of it. That's what keeps it interesting.
Yeah. This might be more of a question for Hunter Goranson. I don't know how involved you were in this, but they're really pulling out all the stops with advertising mind management. Short version of what I've seen so far, there was an ad campaign on billboards. I know they had leaflets that they passed out at Comics Pro and other places where you can call a number. And I did this. It was very fun. Take a little mind management quiz, and then they start texting you updates. There's also a blind bag program that is a little different than the usual blind bag program, including some covers that don't exist. What were you involved in any of this? And if so, what was the brainstorming process like?
Hunter's been great. I've worked with him since our Valiant days, you know, and so we've always sort of got along and got each other. And I know he was a fan of mind management, the original series when it was coming out, before he knew me, you know? And so I think there was, instantly I like him for that, you know? when he asked me if I wanted to do more, he's like, he had come to me with a bunch of ideas already. Like he was already inhabiting this world as much as I was. And then it got me excited. I was like, yeah, that's the vibe of this book is there's like a absurdity to it, you know, and a very like crass sort of marketing to this very subversive organization and idea that just works perfectly. You know, we should have an 800 number. And I wish if I figured it out, I'd have it down here right now flashing. Please call the number, put the number in the notes or whatever, but please call it. It's really funny. And then, billboards, they want to do skywriting. And I was like, what's that? What will that message be? You know, it's sort of fun to like inflict the idea of mind management onto like a unsuspecting real public, you know.
Yeah, a beach goer.
Right. I was like, what is this? I think it's great for two reasons. One, it fits the theme of the comic, and then the other one is it's maybe we'll get some new readers, you know. It's like I love comics, so anything we can do to pull in somebody who's like, what is this weird thing, you know, and it's just a good entry point for them. Great entry point.
Skywriter, how do you get into comics? Saw some clouds and I just go right in. We talked at New York Comic Con last time we saw you about you had so much coming out. It was a big time for you. And it feels like now you're in it. How are you feeling now that the bigness is around you? Skywriting is part of the bigness.
Oh, boy, I'm overwhelmed. It's like, I was like, thank God like Hunter and Oni, they're doing such a great job of like running with that stuff and making sure it's all working, you know, so that I can just write and draw. I forgot. Here's the truth is I didn't do mind management again because I after I did 36 issues where I was doing it all, I was writing, drawing, inking, penciling, watercoloring, lettering, designing. And then every page of it was content, inside covers, back covers, yeah. No ads. And monthly for 3 years. And then I forgot how I felt after that, which was never again. I'm never doing that again. And then so I forgot how much work that was. And so now I'm like, I've just finished issue 4 is in the can, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot.
But, came back pretty quick, did it?
It did. Right around when I finished issue 1, the editor's like, hey, issue 2 is blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh my God, it never yeah. stops. It never stops.
Do you feel like you have another 36 issues in you of mind management new approved, or you're like, I'm done it for?
That's a really good question. No, I outlined like 2 years worth and, and so we'll see. After that, I don't know.
This tees up nicely. I don't remember whether it's debuting with Mind Management or Fort Psycho, but you recently designed a logo for 100% human made to say that things are not made with AI. We exclusively debuted it on Comic Book Club, which I was happy to do.
Thank you.
I know what led to that, but I'd love to hear from you what led to that decision to put that out there.
Yeah, well, I guess AI.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. That tracks.
But, no, I guess part of it was I was starting to write Mind Management. This is an interesting story, too. I was starting to write it, and I'm like, how does anybody know anymore? Like, a lot of my ideas are weird and, like, just, like, and it's just, and I'm messing around with a lot of things. And I was like, how will people know that I'm actually making it, you know? I don't know how do you prove it? You know, how do I prove that I had an idea and I wrote it down and then I drew the thing? And there's no way to really do it, really. It changed my process. So now Mind Management, I write everything by hand. So I have fountain pens. I got into fountain pens as like a side hobby. I don't recommend it. It's kind of expensive if you're really good into it. So I stopped. I have like 10 pens. And my wife's like, that's 10 pens and that's it. You don't need more. You can't use more than 10. And I agree. You can't use more. Don't buy more than that.
Here's the thing, though. Pens are a real bridge to watches, and that's where you got to really watch out.
I know, and that's even more expensive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I did. What's funny, it's such fun. I don't know how those are connected, but I got to do a Mind Management story about it, but there's somehow. But yeah, I did. I dabbed briefly in it enough just to get – I had this Swatch watch when I was in high school that somebody stole. And so I was like, I want my watch back. So I bought the original, and then they did an update. So I bought that update so I could have one to wear around, one that I don't mess up. And that's as close as I got to watches. But anyway, here, I'm going to see if I have, I don't know if I have the books with me. Oh yeah. So this is a different book, but I just buy these books now. We haven't announced this book yet, but then I just write it all out by hand. So it's like, what's cool is you can pick, I'm at my desk right now, but you can have all kinds of inks and then you can pick different colors. But I thought, well, this is the way I can show if my first draft is from my head to paper with a pen, then I kind of have a receipt. I was like, you can see where I cross the thing out and I'm like, it doesn't work. You know, and then eventually it gets typed up into a script that I can send to the editor and get paid. But at least you'll see this first version and it's kind of cool. You get to see the very first draft. And so that was part of the process, that I just changed on my own because I was like, I want to be able to know that people know that I'm doing it, you know? And then, because it's so easy to just cheat and I don't think it's great. I haven't seen anything come out of it that's been any good. But that's where it started. Is like, I want to show my work. I want to have receipts, show my math, you know? And then, I did the first 4 issues like that. And then as I was doing it, I started designing the cover and all these other things. I was like, oh, it'd be cool. I was like, we should just have an ingredient label of some kind to show that, like, what went into this? You know, I was like, I'm doing it all. I was like, there should be a label that says that. And so I think that's where it came from. And I started thinking about ideas. A lot of people have done, like, the AI with the cross to it and everything. And I just feel like those things, I don't want something that says AI on it.
Yeah. I was like, it sort of helps the reverse in a weird way.
Yeah. I was like, and it's negative. It's such a negative thing. It seems like a warning label rather than something positive. And I was like, I want something that's like 100% organic or like all natural, you know, and something that's a positive label that you can be excited about. Something you'd want to have a t-shirt of, you know, and be like, 100% human made. and so I think that's where it came from. That's where the visual came from. And then I was like, I'll just put it on my books. And then I talked to Hunter and he's like, how about we just make it available for public use or whatever. There's like some legal term or whatever, but everybody can use it on anything, you know?
That's so awesome.
Yeah. It's, I believe it's open source and it's under Creative Commons.
Good. Yeah. You have all the terms. I don't have the terms. I just have the,
by the way, this is a little bit of a step back and this is probably too much about myself, but whatever I hear about a writer writing something, like somebody says, oh, Matt Kent wrote this, in my head, every single time I flash like an old timey picture of like Ben Franklin at a desk with a fountain pen. So it's nice to know that at least this one time
it's happening, dude. Yeah. It's happening here. It's so funny. I'm talking about this stuff and staring at, look, here's my pens.
Ooh, nice.
A little pen carrier too.
This is the box I can't go past. So like, this is all I get.
I love you have a pen jail that is very specifically.
It keeps me grounded.
I wanted to ask you about the other side of the business a little bit. So, when we talked to you at your Comic-Con, part of the deal with Flux House was that Oni has the media rights to this stuff. And throughout the years, there's been various stabs at mind management. I think Ridley Scott was going to maybe do a movie back in the day. Curtis Gwynn, who I know from like UCB stuff, but since he's got on to do like Walking Dead and Stranger Things and other things, I think was going to do working on a film version as well in 2022. Are there any talks about that continuing, either afresh or from previous versions?
Yeah, no, it's been in the works a few times, and then there's always talk about it. It's the one everybody's excited to do, but it's the hardest one to crack, you know, because it's such a weird book, and you want to stay true to the thing, and then I want to stay true to it, so I'm kind of picky about it, you know. I think some of those early stabs at it would have been bad. Although I will say Curtis has had the best take. I worked with him on that, and then he turned in something. I was like, this is exactly this. He 100% got it. And then, but the way Hollywood works, from my experience, is by the time you get a person in place and they get the thing and they get the take, the executive that was putting it all together is at a different place. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, he's not there anymore. And the new guy, he's like, oh, I don't know what this is. And it's like, I didn't make it, so I don't want it. So that's literally there's been a couple ones that are really close and they would have been good, you know, and then something like that happens. It's just out of your control. And it's like, okay, we just need to go quicker, you know, while everybody still has their job. And, but it's just a lot of money and, we want to do it right. So, I'm fine being patient with it.
Yeah. It's crazy to spend a lot of time hoping a rich person keeps their rich person job and being like, if this happens, things will be good for me. And you're like, bummer.
No, it's fine. But you know, what's funny is I've been doing comics 25 years and to me, option money is it's like a nice little bonus check every once in a while. Yeah. It's like, oh, good. I can afford to keep doing comics. You know, and then the older I get, the more I'm like, because I think it's really easy to get distracted by all that too. It's like, oh, we're
huge.
We're going to do a movie and then they have you out for meetings. And then it's like, they're trying to like starstruck you or something or get you hyped up and they're hyped up, you know, and then it gets you excited and then nothing ever pans out or it's just constantly in limbo. And I think I was like, oh, that's this time that I could be making comics. And guess what? In comics, I'm not getting other input unless it's my wife saying, you know, don't do that thing you always do. And then nobody's bothering me. I have unlimited budget. I can do whatever I want. So the older I get, the more I'm like, I picked a perfect medium to work in.
I feel like so many creators are saying that specific thing now too, where it's like, I'll even people who are like sort of in the Hollywood machine a little bit more, they come out of it and then they just do comics for a while and then go back into it with another thing. It's like, you can't, it's just such a mind fuck to be doing both at the same time.
Yeah, no, it's not. And here's what I'll just branch off to Berserker a little bit, because I think that can be perceived as like one of the bigger, like, oh, this is, they're doing it to make a movie or this or that, or it's, that's definitely on like a dual track that we're running with that book. And I can promise you that I worked with Kiana for like 2 or 3 years on that book. And never once did we talk about what the movie version would be or what the TV or that, all that stuff. They were at the door. Everybody was at the door and you could kind of feel him there. Yeah. You know,
like, oh. Breathing, and then, execs like, breathing heavy from another room.
To his credit, he protected us so that it's like, there was no talk of any of that until issue 12 script was locked.
Wow. You know?
It's like,
that's really cool. We're going
to do our thing. Right. And then let's adapt it. But I think that's I was so happy that he was like that. And that's because that's just how I've always worked. And so we got along.
I feel like if there's one celeb whose comic book creative bona fides have been proven, it's Keanu. Like, I feel like everyone's like, he seems to be really into this. No doubt about it.
No, it's one of those where like, oh, he did a good job writing it. I was like, I co-wrote it. I for sure co-wrote that book. It was not just me.
Matt, all this stuff is great stuff. It is always great catching up with you. Before we let you go, obviously we've talked about a lot of things coming up. Everybody should check out Mind Management, New and Improved, #1, when it comes out June 24th from Oni Press. But do tell your comic book shop you want to get it before April 27th so they can actually order it. Fort Psycho as well is coming up, and that looks great. But anything else you want to plug? Anything else people should check out? Obviously your social media, which you're very active on, but any other notes?
Yeah, dude. Oh, here's what I'll say about the final order cutoff and Mind Management one. That foil bag, there's the foil bag variant that's like a blind bag, so you don't know which one you're getting, and there's a bunch of weird covers. Get that one. mostly because I think it's fun. And then the foil bag, they pitched me this idea, and I was like, I worked at a comic shop in the 90s, so I just remember having to move fistfuls of foil variants and like all these different, you know, and it's like I grew up in that era, and I was like, it makes me nervous, but I was like, let's do so with this. I think all the covers are really neat, but the black bag, I was like, let's make the bag have a story, let's make the bag have value, so it's not just the bag that like you're ripping off, tearing away. So the bag is like a thing. There's like a story and some funny little mini prose thing on the back of it, and I spent a lot of time on the bag.
So, that's awesome.
So buy it, you're just for the bag, you know.
Buy the bag. You're using the whole buffalo.
Exactly, man. That's Mind Management in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Matt, thank you so much again. Always great talking to you. Looking forward to the rest of the run and everything that's coming out.
Yeah, thanks.